if you're a fan of Brighton, Newcastle, heck, football in general, give it a listen. Big Dan Byrne on the podcast. Eddie Howe, what's he like as a manager? Playing in the Champions League against the likes of PSG, Dortmund, AC Milan. Just how good is Kylian Mbappe? Lewis Miley, 17 years old. He gives us the lowdown on him. That world famous Jason Tindall Twitter page taking the mick out of him. Are the lads fully aware of this? He lets us know. And also, did Tonali actually go to Weatherspoons? Up the Foscast.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Dan, got to start with the injury, mate. First of all, what is it? How did you do it? And how are you getting on?
I cracked 3 bones on my back. That sounds worse than it is, to be fair, though. So you've got like your spine, and then you've got these bones that come off called transverse process bones. I hope I've got that right by them. And I've just cracked straight through 3 of them. So it's something that, like, I go for those sort of headers all the time and fall, but it's just one of those things. Like, I just fell.
Did you land on the floor, or did you land on your legs, or what?
Yeah, and I clipped the back of Joe Linton, and that sent us over. And then I think I've like tried to put my hands out headers, and just when I've hit the bottom, it's just.
Did you know straight away you'd.
I thought, wow, that's painful. Like, because I feel like I've got quite a high pain threshold. Like, I'll not go off for nothing because I want to play. But as I went on, I kept getting a shooting pain. And then I remember the gaffer looked over and he was like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, as if to say, like, "I want to come off." And he was like, "Oh, he's all right." And I was like,
"No, I'm not.
I don't even know how to do it 20 minutes, yeah." So we managed to sort of get to half time. But I was in agony at half time. Like,
And obviously the manager knows that, like, he knows your character, he knows what kind of a guy you are. So if you say, "Mate, I'm struggling here," then he knows you've done something. Yeah. And then you're fearing the worst, yeah?
Yeah, I think, like, it takes a lot for me to go off. So, like, when I came off, I was hoping that it was just sort of bruising. And then I had a scan the next morning and then went into the doctor, and he was like, "I'll just tell you straight, like, you've broke 3 bones, so it'll be
wow.
6 weeks, like max 10. So,
to be fair, when you, because I think we had this planned a few weeks ago, didn't we? And when Ben said, "Oh, Dan's had to reschedule, he's broke 3 bones in his back," and we were like, "Yeah, that's a fair excuse."
No, I said, "That's selfish as heck." Like, we had a proper podcast, to be fair. You texted me and went, "Mate, listen, I'm a bit sore at the minute, I can't even sit still." Like,
yeah, it was ridiculous.
Is that what it's like when you get home? You can't move, can't drive, nothing like that.
And it was like hard. Like, I've got obviously 2 young kids and stuff as well, so they're like running around us, and I want to try and help out, but I'm just sort of sat there just watching them. But yeah, like, driving was agony. Even just like sat down, I was in pain. So the most comfortable I was in was walking about, but there's only so much of that you can do.
And really, you started back doing a bit of training now, a bit of running.
Started back running, did a bit of ball work today, and it feels good. So a few weeks, hopefully.
Right, we're going to crack on with the rest of the podcast in a second. I definitely want to talk about this Champions League, the whole Newcastle story. First of all, Tom, we've got a few thank yous to say, haven't we?
Yeah, just big thanks to Ben Cleary and the team at Full Circle Brewery, my old colleague Ben. So they've kindly let us use the brewery to shoot the podcast today. It kindly supplied us with a few bevvies as well. So massive shout out. We'll put a link to their website down below, but the beers are belting, Ben. Yeah, would you agree?
I would agree, mate. They're fantastic. Obviously, Dan is not, because he's a professional. But we are up in Geordieland. It's very cold. They've had a bit of snow, but it's lovely. Anyway, let's talk about, I want to talk about this, the Champions League journey that you've been on so far. In particular, that PSG game, mate. Surely, actually, you tell me in your own words, is this the biggest game of your career so far?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, the AC Milan game first, just to play in a stadium like the San Siro, and like the Champions League music comes on and stuff. It was,
what's that like? Is that goosebumps? Like, is it?
But it happened really quick. So I went out there and I thought, like, I'd be stood there for ages listening to it. And as we were coming out, it was on, and then it was over so quickly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, just to play in that game and like get a result there. I know we didn't play as well as we would like to, but get a result, I thought like that's it, like nothing can top that. That's like the pinnacle. And then the PSG game, even the build up to it, because I had like the lights above the ground and like everyone was talking about it. So the atmosphere was electric and yeah, great night.
Hit your goal as well?
Yeah, which I don't get a lot. So it's one of the, like, I talk about all the time that I don't score enough headers. Like, I don't know what it is. It must be a timing thing, but for my size, I should get a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you hang a ball in the box,
like, I'd like to think you'll win most of them.
I think I win most of them, but I think I'm not used to clearing it.
It
must be a timing thing, but I am getting better. I feel like the more we do it in training, I'm like starting to get in the areas that I want to score in. But when that ball came in, it was just sort of like my eyes lit up. I was like, yeah,
it was hung up there. And
yeah,
we need to talk about the goal, because we saw you celebrate, and is it a goal? Isn't it a goal? Yeah. Do you feel like you were robbed out of the celebration that you really wanted to do?
Properly. Like, as soon as I knew it was over the line, because I like see Donnarumma didn't get there, and then I turned away to run. But like offside flag went up straight away. I was like, oh, you're kidding me. But
can't even jump in the crowd.
No, like, and I would have been top off a lot. I would have been around the pitch. So yeah, it did kill us a bit. But I think even just sort of the build up to it, anticipation, like the longer it went on, like I was like, oh, this could be a goal, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I was too tired at that stage of the game to do a full lap.
So you're just buzzing, stuff. Yeah. The thing is, they were checking, the VAR were checking first, I think, did the ball go out?
Yeah.
Secondly, was it offside? Thirdly, was it a foul?
Yeah.
And then eventually, and then even then, because I'm buzzing for Donnarumma here, right? Yeah. I'm thinking, what
some
a save.
Some save, yeah, yeah.
Traitor.
Yeah, honestly, probably. I'm thinking, that's world class. What a save that is. But then eventually they give the goal. Yeah. And all you can do really is just stick your arms out and buzz, can't you?
No, and like, it's like nice. You could like feel the roar of the crowd and then all the lads sort of jumping on you.
Was that something. a different atmosphere that night? Because I was watching from home, watching on the telly, and I'm thinking, I need to go to a Champions League game.
We
at
spoke
Newcastle.
About it on the podcast, didn't we? And we said, like, you watch it and everyone knows how like special St James is. But nights like that, because you always hear it about like special nights at Anfield, but obviously it's been so many years at St James's, but that must have been electrifying.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, we've got like the atmosphere is amazing at St James's Park anyway to play on that. And there's been like the odd games where you're like, wow, that was unbelievable. But yeah, I think that PSG game was sort of different level. It was crazy. And I think I spoke about it before, when I was a kid, I had a season ticket, so I went to the last time that they were in the Champions League when we played Juventus and Feyenoord and Dynamo Kiev, and that's what like made me like love Newcastle and love playing football. So like walking up the hill, you could see like the whole stadium was lit up and you could hear the crowd. So to know that I've been on the other end of that, and there's probably kids doing that and like loved football from that moment, like it's just sort of like special.
That's lovely, mate. And obviously playing against PSG, talk to me about playing against the likes of Mbappe. Like, is it before the game, are you half nervous, or are you just like, no, he's another footballer, he's a striker, he's just a bit quicker than most, but that's about it?
Yeah, I think like as I'm getting older, I get like less nervous for games, like the big games, and that you can feel it. Obviously, I would play like the League Cup final. Like, that was a huge game for the club. So you do get nervous for those sort of games. But I feel like I always, because I always treat myself as the underdog, whoever I'm playing.
Really?
Like, it's just so like where it's like everyone's expecting him to rinse us anyway. So like it's just in my head that I want to prove.
Is that honestly
wrong.
How you will? So say no matter who you're playing against, you will think, in that player's head, he thinks he's better than me. He can beat me.
I think so.
That's where you kind of go, no, I'm going to back myself here.
But I think like if you look on paper, I might just tell myself this might not be true, but I'm saying on paper, the majority of the wingers that I come up with, I would say, you would say, he'd probably get the better of me. So I'd probably use that as like a bit of a chip on my shoulder and a bit of motivation just to like prove to myself that, I can like handle the best, if you know what I mean. It was hard with Dembele, because when we were doing work on him during the week, and you were seeing him, he was like coming in on his left foot, like all left foot, and then like the next one, he was like all right foot. I was like, what foot is he?
What
and everyone was
here?
Like, don't know, right, fantastic.
What foot is he? So,
I don't know if anyone knows, like he does both, like chopping the lot. So but no, I really enjoyed it. Like, I think it's like you play football to play against the best players.
Yeah.
And PSG, AC Milan and Dortmund, like you couldn't ask for a better
goal. I want to know that is this draw. So like you say, the teams that you just mentioned there, obviously Newcastle buzzing, they've finished in a great position last season, they're into the Champions League now. And then when it's draw day, are you all sitting there? Like, how do you all find out? Are you all sitting there watching and then you go, oh.
So they put something on at the club, so they've got like a big indoor tent. And then they had loads of stuff on for the kids. They had like a restaurant came in and put food on, and then they all watched
it. That's good.
So it was good. Like, it was really good. So like you could bring your families along, and then they had the draw on, and the draw takes forever. Like, as you know, so I wasn't really paying attention. And then like I saw, like, I think I can't remember who the first one was, but come to it, and like, just everyone was buzzing. Like, I think when you haven't played in the Champions League for that long and you don't know if you're ever going to get that opportunity again, like, I think you want to play at the best teams.
You don't care.
I don't care. Like the thought of going to play like at PSG or going to play at AC Milan or Dortmund, it's like, it's why you want to play football. Not to be disrespectful to other teams that are in the Champions League, but you want to play against the best players.
Listen, we've got loads more to talk about. I want to talk about quickly, though. This is a bit of a... I want to throw it back a little bit. You actually got released from Newcastle when you were... Was it 13?
Yeah, or? Probably a bit younger, maybe like 10 or 11.
Yeah. I just want to... maybe for some of the younger listeners out there, just sort of that journey, really, from getting released and it really knocking your confidence and thinking, wow, that's it, my dream as being a footballer has gone, to... turning it all round and then coming back to your boyhood club, just sort of what did it take for you to sort of really look at yourself and go, no, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, well, I think I wasn't actually signed up for the academy. They had the academy and then they had a thing called the development centre. Like local lads would go there, they keep an eye on them. So, but once I was in that development centre, as a 9-year-old, I was like, I'm going to play for Newcastle.
Yeah,
like,
that's the dream.
I'll be captain, like, score all the goals. But the reality is that it doesn't, like, the tiny percentage that actually get through is like ridiculous. Yeah. It's sort of minute. So yeah, like when I got the letter to say that you weren't going to be invited back, like, it was hard. Like, as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid to hear that, like, it is tough. Like, knowing that you're going to school and everyone's going to know that. So I think it knocks your confidence. I think just for a few years, I struggled. Like, I wasn't getting in county teams.
Really?
I wasn't even playing.
See, that's
on
what I mean.
Sunday league team.
You're talking about sort of like, you're talking about a Premier League player scoring goals in Champions League and he can't even get in county league county teams. It's like 13, 14 and stuff like
points.
That.
I think I played in the whole of my school, I played for county in 1 year.
Wow.
So, but I think it's as well, I was tall when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then everyone sort of caught up and shot away. And then I didn't go again until like 16, 17. So I think it was tough. Like, I wasn't great. That's why I wasn't in Newcastle. The reality was, I probably should never have been there anyway. But, I think it just like builds up resilience, and like, I just really love playing football and just wanted to keep doing it. I would play like futsal and five-a-side.
Oh, really?
And,
yeah.
Like, I was training like academy lads were anyway. I was out on the backfield or like training for a few different teams and doing it. So it was just sort of repetition. And I think I've been very lucky with opportunities I was given. You know what I mean? But I always feel as if there's no luck in how I took them, like right the way through. Like, I always do everything that I feel as I possibly can, if you know what I mean. So I feel as if I deserve to have been where I've been.
You mentioned earlier on about like almost having that underdog mentality. Yeah. And I've got a bit of a gripe, really, I guess, with the media. And you look at players like Peter Crouch and like yourself, and I just think it's like an unfair like assumption that because you're probably unorthodox and don't fit the bill... Do you think that's just automatically aimed at you?
Probably. It's like a stereotype as well, because I didn't take that traditional academy route and I did something different. That's like, it might just be my opinion. That might not be what it is. But yeah, I do think that you're probably not given maybe the credit for that I should probably be given. But I don't mind that, because as I said, like, it gives me that extra motivation. Like, I always feel as if I'm proving people wrong. Like, there's always new people coming into the club and people saying, oh, you'll probably not play. Or if we go at the next level, we'll probably need to bring in someone else. But I use that, and every time I manage to keep playing or stay in the team, then that's sort of...
It is something you hear, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is absolutely, and it tends to be the lads that were there before the takeover, or often than not, it's the local lads.
Yeah.
Like, you hear it about, like, it's Matty Longstaff, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll say the same kind of thing. Oh, but I think that's just almost like you're a victim of the circumstance, aren't they? Yeah. It's an easy target almost.
Yeah. It's all local lads. I think that anywhere at any club that the player, like, you always see that they always bring those players in, and it's easy to like say to them, oh, like, sorry, like, we've had to leave you out or that sort of thing, because it's just the easier thing to do when you're bringing in lads from all over the world and they're on however much amount of money. It's just the easiest thing to do. But I said, like, it just motivates me more to prove people wrong. I never thought I'd be able to play this many games in the Premier League, honestly, and just managing to keep doing it and saying that people can't, I think that you can't do it, just pushes us.
This is where I think, I remember when they were signing you, and I remember just thinking, no, that's really sensible signing there. what I want from, if I was to build my team, right, genuinely, I'm building a team of good lads, real hard-working good lads. And that's what it strikes me that Eddie Howe is doing. Do you know what I mean? He could go out easily, and you know he could go and replace you with a 60, 70 million pound defender. But also, on the same token, you're not going to get that local lad, that guy that wears his heart on his sleeve, really good around the place, fantastic on the pitch, leader. And like I say, that's exactly what I think Eddie Howe has built in that Newcastle team.
Yeah, and I think with the signings that he did at the start, like Chris Wood, me, Trips is probably an exception.
Yeah.
Bruno, like, probably us as Geordies didn't know that much about Bruno, but now he's a club legend, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there were sort of like signings that needed to be done for the now. There were the signings that were probably going to keep you up. And even when I signed, I still felt as if the reaction was is that I was probably more a stopgap signing like I would keep it up, but then in the summer they would go out and bring someone in. So like,
even that in itself make you go, no, I'm not having that. I'm going to work hard
because I know when like I get into a team, like, I have this all the time. Every time I move to a new club, like when I went to Brighton, I remember from Wigan, like I was took there as like third choice centre half. And then after a few weeks, like lads are like, oh, like you're actually better than I thought you were going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And like a nice
much.
Way. Do you know when like I like you've had a few drinks with the lads and they're always like, honestly, like I wasn't expecting you to be that good. Like,
surprised me.
Yeah. So
that's
but,
a
like,
stereotype,
nice.
Though, isn't it?
No, it is.
It's
like,
a stereotype.
It is. But like I think when I was trying to come here, I was on the phone to the gaffer and management and saying like I feel as if I can like contribute a lot, not just like on the pitch playing, but like off the pitch. Like I feel like I've got really high standards and want to sort of drive that. So. Yeah, I'm just glad that I've managed to, again, try and prove people wrong and stick in the team.
And talk to us then about actually signing for Newcastle. I want to know, we always try and do this with people that we get on the podcast, is that moment where you finally hear, you get that news of Newcastle want to sign you, your agent rings you or whoever it is, there's rumours.
Yeah.
When did you finally know that it was an offer and it was like, wow.
It's real.
I had a few conversations because I think at that point, every player in the world was linked with Newcastle, weren't they? Like, I think everyone was like, well, at this point, we can take an opportunity. We'll speak to Newcastle, see if we can get there. Obviously, the richest club in the world.
Yeah.
So we'd spoke about it and they said they would get in touch. And then I was in Dubai at the time. So I remember that whole week.
Family holiday.
Yeah. So we'd been given, we were given a week. I don't know if it was international break or something. So I was out there with a few of the Brighton lads and a few families in there. I just spent the full time like walking up and down the promenade with my son, just like on the phone. So like, I was like speaking to my agent, they were speaking to the chief exec at Brighton, like saying like, what could we do? Like, how would it happen? And then I was on the phone to like Graham Jones, on FaceTime, because they were in Saudi at the time.
Yeah.
Newcastle, just like trying to like plead my case really, just saying that like, honestly, like I think I can help loads. Then on the phone to the gaffer. So I got right the way up to the point on deadline day where I still didn't know if it was going to happen. And I was like, I'm not setting off from Brighton at Newcastle unless I know what's happening.
It's a long old drive.
It's a long drive to get halfway up and get told to turn around.
Yeah. You remember Peter Rudd and Wing? You did that, bro.
Yeah, unbelievable. That,
you but, don't want to be that, do you?
Never. So I thought, like, it's got to be happening. But then when you get the sort of green light and just the drive up there, I drove up with my agent and my wife. And then my mum and dad were there for the signing, and it was like, it was emotional. Like,
yeah,
was
they it really?
Are they still local?
Still local, yeah, yeah. So my mum lives like Cramlington Way, my dad lives up in Gosforth, but just to have both them there to sort of share that, because they were the ones who took us around all over the place when I was a kid and come to watch us when I wasn't
playing. And how and nice
stuff.
Is that when you get to make that phone call to your mum and dad and say, it's happening, we're doing it.
It's amazing. Like, and still surreal, like even when it hadn't, like when it was happening, it didn't feel real. Like, it took a while to like sink in that I was playing for Newcastle. Like when we were putting the shirt on to do the photos, I was like,
"This is mad."
Black my top, how good
St. James's Park, look at this.
And what did you do that night when you signed? Did you have a little glass of something? Did you go out for dinner? What was?
By the time we actually signed, it was late and it was deadline day. So the next day I was in.
You're training, season started already.
We were back in already. So it was me and my wife just went back to the hotel, had a beer or whatever, and then just to sort of celebrate and then back at it. And it was just a long build up to getting that first game, and that, like I spoke before about not being nervous for games, but that first start against
Villa.
Like, I was like nervous. Like,
really?
We're hearing like coming out a local hero, and like knowing like I had loads of family and friends at the game, obviously, and people I would have went to school with, and people that like knew that I was nervous. So once I had a touch, I was fine, but and I got a decent touch early on, so it's good.
Oh, I love this one, mate. I need to ask a question, right? So are you aware, or are the lads aware, of there's a Twitter page, right? So your assistant manager, Jason Tindall, by all accounts, is a lovely bloke, by the way. I've heard he's a lovely bloke. There's a Twitter page, right, called, Tom, it's called Jason Tindall.
Desperate to be centre of attention.
Desperate to be centre of attention, right? Are you and the lads aware of this Twitter page first?
Not fully aware. Yeah. Fully aware.
Yeah. We looked at it on the way up, didn't we, Ben? It was funny.
We were pissing ourselves, right? So... basically, it's all shots or clips or videos or pictures of Jason Tindall, like at the front of pictures, like all like in front of everything kind of thing. So is there some sort of substantiations to these claims, or is it just like it's just bad timing?
Think it's like it's as well. I think like as football, as in football, we're quite like superstitious, aren't we? Yeah. So like all the photos, like I'm behind them and I'm in the middle on all of them. Yeah, do you know what I mean? So it's like you just end up tending to go at the same place on all the photos, but.
He's laid out on the front in most
of exactly, and all of them, and even like I've seen a few where he was like shaking managers' hands before the gaffer and stuff, but that's what they've just always done. So
we're talking after the game here, by the way. He's the first one to march over and go,
just because he stood there, like that's what half killed him this season, because you're not allowed to have two people standing up in the technical area.
Okay,
so which was probably brought in just because we did it just so they couldn't do it. But like it takes it well though. He's funny.
Do the lads give him a bit?
The lads give him a bit. I'm saying we'll have like meetings probably like once or twice a month through like spins meetings we do, where it's like fines for the month, or the lads will talk about a timeline, and there's always like a few photos to like sort of like make people laugh beforehand. And there was ones of like JT on like every player's face and stuff like that. Like it's class.
I love that. Absolutely brilliant. When you talk about team meetings, I'm right in saying I was reading earlier on that you're kind of part of the leadership team. Yeah. And actually Ben did a piece with Jurgen Klopp earlier on, and he was talking about his team leaders and how they get together and what it entails. What does that involve for like the Newcastle team leaders?
It's just like random stuff. It could just be random stuff as well. Like you can do like sort of things with tickets if like people have problems with that. Or I remember the Champions League, we're wanting to sort out like maybe some different gear, like tracksuits or whatever. Yeah. But a lot of it's just like standards. I think like you can, like you've been about before, like when things aren't going maybe too great, like you can get maybe like little pockets of players that do things, and that we're very lucky, we don't really have that. But it's about like sort of having people who are in like sort of maybe different groups in there, who could sort of like spread the message and keep on top of it, and like just push people, really
just about sort of housekeeping as well, kind of thing, like general rules, fines and stuff like that, making like sure standards. Everybody's abiding by them and all that,
all the kind of shit that doesn't need to bog you down, so you just
or bog the manager down.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
The manager and the captain as well. I think it's hard, like to have one captain, 25 players to do all that. Because sometimes it's hard if you're trying to push something and it's just you by yourself. It's quite difficult. But if you've got five lads all saying the same thing to like different groups and doing it, I think it sort of helps. So we've got like a really good group, I think.
Who's in the leadership group?
So it's me, Jamal Lascelles, obviously captain, Trips. Matty Ritchie and Callum Wilson. I came in, I think Fede Fernandez left, and then they asked me to come in. So it was nice, because then it's nice that like
you're a senior player.
That, if you know what I mean. So it's good, and I think like it helps, like you can sort of push each other in training if we feel that maybe it's a bit flat a day. We'll just sort of say like, we need to get on the lads today, like push it a bit.
Ticket allocation as a local lad must be murder for you. Talk to us about that.
Ridiculous. So I would say every game I get at least 20 tickets.
Really?
So you get like, you get given a certain amount, and then I've got a box which is 10, so that's like all my family.
And then you've got to buy some more
as well. You buy some more. So like my dad's got a season ticket. We've got like brother-in-law's got a season ticket. My auntie's got a season ticket. So like then you add them up, and then you get like texts off people saying, oh, come and sort this. And it's hard because like you don't want to say no to people, but like getting tickets at the minute, it's like gold
hard
dust,
work,
you know
anyway,
I mean?
Yeah.
But it can bleed into, I remember when you were playing, Ben, it can bleed into match days and everything, can't it? Oh, I remember you having stress, Ben, going like 2 or 3 hours before the game, going, I've managed to get one for him, or it can be, you don't need it, do you?
I want to talk about some of the Newcastle players. Well, I want to talk about Eddie Howe in a minute as well, and just what he's like as a manager, blah, blah, blah. But there's a couple Newcastle players I want to talk about, and just how good they are, really. Yeah. You mentioned him a minute ago. Jimenez, how do you say it?
Bruno.
Bruno.
We just call him Bruno.
Guimaraes?
Yeah.
It's Guimaraes. Not Gui. You don't say Guimaraes. The Gui.
Guimaraes.
They say Jimenez, I'm sure.
Bruno.
That's all we're known by. Yeah, class. I think, I've said it before, I think to play for the team that we've got, I'm not trying to say we're the best team by any stretch of the imagination, but you need to know your role within the team. Yep. And the gaffer needs to be able to trust you. So I think it's hard for players to come in and play straight away. It takes a bit of time. You look at like Anthony Gordon, for instance, like isn't the way he's playing now. He probably wasn't playing the back end of last season, but he's had time to know what the gaffer wants to do. So I think it was similar with Bruno. He didn't play straight away. We had Jonjo in there, who was like great at what he did. And then ever since he's come in, he's just one of them players that you can just give the ball to anywhere. You know it's safe. He's really good at like breaking up the play. Always really fired up, which I feel like all the South American lads are always like that anyway. We've got like Joe Linton, we've got Miggy. But yeah, I think he's a huge player. I know that there's a stat that we don't win whenever he doesn't play, but obviously he's a huge player for. It just happened that just hasn't happened for some reason.
Do you know what I love?
Do you remember when Gareth Bale didn't win for 25 games or something when he was at Spurs?
But
he didn't win.
Yeah, I know, I remember that, yeah. I love it about Bruno. He's the same as Anthony Gordon as well, is the amount of times I see them do a sliding tackle or they win a corner or they win a throw-in and they're straight away, they're flowing the hands up. But the second those Newcastle fans see that, mate, the roar, isn't it? It is bonkers. They live for that kind
of
stuff.
But I think that's what, because it's quite a working class city.
Yeah.
Like I knew when I used to come and watch as a kid, they just want you to go out there and just give 100%. Mm. Like if you like win or lose, like you've got to give 100%. That's the first and foremost. And if you do that, like they'll be happy.
Do you think? Do you think some of the sort of foreign players that come over, obviously very talented players, but do you think when they come over, it's kind of almost a culture shock to them, because when they see how hard the other Newcastle players are working, then they sort of feed off the fans as well. Yeah. They're like, that's the minimum that's expected of me now. Exactly. They have to buy into it, don't
definitely.
They?
Definitely. I think it's like it's obviously very different from what he would have had in other places, but it does. If you feed off each other, like the fans, when they're really loud, they push us on.
Yeah.
And then when we do stuff like, you can like feel it, and it must be horrible to play against. Do you know, like when you're under the cosh a little bit and you just feel like the ball's like constantly coming towards
you.
Well,
we're doing this podcast now and Newcastle actually beat Manchester United on, was it Saturday night?
Saturday night.
But the reason why Newcastle beat Man United is because they just outworked them. They outworked them from the very first minute to the end of the game, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's just like the bare minimum that's expected. So like anyone who comes in, I feel like they know just from the way we train. So what you see on a Saturday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, that's us every single day. So like it's everything that we do in training is like 100%. Like you've got to be doing the press. Like when we get the ball, you do it. Like the patterns that we play, you'll see on a Saturday, but we practice them every single day, every single week. So like, it's not they're not just off the cuff
not
things.
Flukes.
Yeah, yeah. That's like some stuff that's.
And what about young Lewis Miley?
Class.
How impressive is this lad, by the way? What is this, 17 years old, right? And he's playing in Champions League matches. He's playing in Premier League matches, and he looks like he's been doing it all his life.
Yeah, crazy. And even he was training with us when he was 16. So sort of even. Might have been younger by the time I first
bonkers,
got here.
Isn't it?
And he's just—it's so weird because you look at him and he's a kid. Like that is he looks like a child. Do you know what I mean? You know, like I'm looking at him. He's just such a nice lad.
Is he a nice lad?
Yeah,
is he?
So
that's
good,
all
man.
That matters. I don't care from
no.
That
that's
one. As long as I know he's a good lad, I'm going to be rooting for him. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What
you've got like lads who come through and you know, like the know that they're good, but he's just like not bothered. Nothing fazes him. Like you'll sit, you can crack on with him as if he was like my age. Just like really happy for him. I think. His composure for a kid of that age, like I was pushing trolleys as that his age. Do you know what I mean? Like,
were you genuinely?
Yeah, genuinely, right? And he's a Champions League footballer. You know what I mean? Like, mind is blown. Like, so I'm just like really happy for him.
Like,
I think
what's he like? Like, 17 years old, like you say, for him stepping on the football pitch is probably the most normal thing in the world. Yeah. He's used to doing it and it's probably what comes most normal to him. But what's he like with you lads? Like, do you know what I mean? Because he must be a big Newcastle fan as well.
Yeah.
He must look up to you guys as absolute idols.
Yeah.
So what's he like in the change rooms? Is he still a bit sort of shy and retiring? Or
that's
is
pure
he...
crap.
But do you know what I mean, though? Because can you imagine putting yourself in that situation? You would be shitting yourself,
100%.
Wouldn't you?
So he's not loud in like... But he's not quiet. You can have a conversation with him, but he's not going to be like laughing and crapping and joking on in and around it. But he picks stuff up so quickly. Like the way I've said it before, like to play in our team, you need to know your role, like absolutely everything about your role. And whatever position he plays, he picks it up really quickly. Like you can, when you're watching him on the pitch, like you can see that he knows what he's doing. And just like his composure, the areas he's picking the ball up for a 16-year-old or 17-year-old to have sort of that composure to do it, it's like amazing, like
phenomenal.
And what about I heard this the other day, about Anthony Gordon that he could declare for Scotland. If Anthony Gordon plays for Scotland before he plays for England, I'm never watching England play again. Because he is unbelievable. He's just getting better and better and better, right?
Yeah, unbelievable. And I said, I think it took him a little while to get going, but the Euros for him in the summer, I think, was huge.
Yeah.
Do you win best player there as
well?
And when he came back pre-season, he was just so fit. Like, you couldn't believe like how fast he was and sharp he was when we were just like come back off our holidays and stuff.
He'd been playing all summer, that's
why. Yeah, that's why, because he'd been playing all summer. And I think that's given him an advantage. And as I said, he knows his role now. He's got a really good relationship with the crowd, obviously. Mm. I read the other day he's got like the most titles in our team, which like surprised. Yeah. It doesn't surprise us when I think about it, but that surprises us from a winger that he does that. So he's just a lad who's full of confidence.
Do you know what? It's good to see though, because like there was something that happened at the end of the season. He got a bit of a rocket up his ass, didn't he, from the manager? Which it happens, young kids kind of thing. But to come back the way he's done it, and the best way I can describe Anthony Gordon, and I love watching him. He's in my fantasy Premier League team. As well, by the way. No, it's not. It's Sven. Sorry, it's Sven. I can't get him out now. He's injured.
I've got Sven. Trips in assists for days.
But Anthony Gordon, the best way I can describe him, right, is a rat. Yeah. He is a little rat, isn't he? But I want that rat in my team. Because he will work forwards and he'll work back and he'll smash people and he gets the crowd going. Yes. They're the kind of players that I think Newcastle are littered
with,
aren't
they? Like for a winger, he's like a playground player he'll get stuck in, like properly stuck in, won't he? Exactly. And like you said, like for Newcastle, for the fans, they see that.
It's a dream player, isn't it?
Amazing. Like just to play, like as I said, like even coming back and helping the fullback out, like I think the more time that you play with him, you sort of build a relationship with him. You see the movements he does and how sharp, and it just makes it so much easier. You know, you know what he's going to do before you're even picking the ball up, that sort of thing. He deserves all the praise he's getting. It can't be long before he's getting an England call.
It won't be long, for sure.
Imminent.
Let's have a little bit of Eddie Howe chat then, because for me, again, I don't think he gets the praise that he deserves. I really don't. There's a lot of people always, talking about Klopp and Pep and even Emery, gets a lot of kind of praise, don't they? But Eddie Howe, it's almost like, well, it's Newcastle, the richest club in the world. He should be doing this. But I disagree, because I just think the players that he's brought in and the way they've got you playing is just, it's difficult to do.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as I said, it was probably one of them at the start where you're wanting like these top huge name managers and you want these top huge name players, but I think he was perfect for what we need and what we are, and like the amount of detail that he goes into, even just the amount of time he spends at the training ground, he's always on his laptop like looking at clips and coming up with ideas, and it's just all so thorough that it's no fluke that what we've been doing over the last couple of years, it's not just like we'll go out there and play. It's all like very, very detailed, and he sort of deserves.
What sort of manager is he? Is he a ranter, raver? Is he calm, composed?
He's very, very sort of level-headed. He never gets too high after a win, and like when we're losing, he never gets too low. Like there's times when you can flip it if he's not happy with what we're doing. But I think if he's got a philosophy of the way he wants to play, and if he can look at his team and say, yeah, that's my team, then that's all sort of ask for.
We've got to ask about when the lads come in, like we said about like the foreign lads come in. Like signing for a team in London's one thing, right? Newcastle, like for all intents and purposes, it's a different country, right? In a good way. It's brilliant up here. I used to work up here loads.
Yeah.
And when you get players come in, one, it's very cold up here. And there was a story about Sandro Tonali, wasn't there? Not that story.
Yeah.
The one about you lot sending him to Wetherspoons when you wanted it. Tell us this is true.
I want to tell you it's true, but genuinely not.
Oh, no!
It's genuinely not. I don't know how it's happened. I don't know if it was someone he's known and he's just said, I need to go to a restaurant. Because I'm pretty sure if you type in the area that he went in on TripAdvisor, Wetherspoons would be up near the top.
Yeah.
Just because it's like that many people will go up with. But it's quite a classy Wetherspoons, to be fair. Yeah. But the fact that he's rang up and booked the table was like the lads were into. Because when he first came, like his English wasn't great. So it's quite hard to, like you want to involve him in everything, but it's quite hard because you can't speak where he's like, English now is unbelievable.
Really, really quickly.
Unbelievable. Like, I was speaking to him the other day and I was like, wow, like your English is a lot better than I thought it was.
Did they pick up on your like terminology and stuff, right? It's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I feel like because I've played all over, I tend to slow down more when I speak to like people from down south, because I know that they struggle with it. But Paul Dummett, whenever the foreign lads speak to Paul Dummett, I can just see them looking like, honestly, mate, I've got not a clue what you're saying. But I can understand him perfectly, obviously. I don't even think he sounds that quick, but he must speak so quickly that I can see he's like Sandro and Bruno looking at him like, honestly, dummy, I'm going
to... In a couple of years' time, if Bruno and Sandro start talking with a Geordie twang on their English, it is going to be the best thing you've ever heard.
Right, still the funniest one I ever saw was, I think it was Dietmar Hamann. Like, even now, right?
Scouse.
And Newcastle. Yeah. German, Scouse, Newcastle. All rolled into one.
Mate, Isaac Johnson, have you heard him talking?
Yes.
Who's the Newcastle? It's Isaac. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes, yeah, it is.
Mate, Isaac's from London.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He's from surely he's from London.
But I think it's from, shows the watch, when they're growing up and stuff. Like, they'll watch, stuff on Netflix
Top
or whatever.
Boy by the sounds.
Mate, it's Top Boy. He was brothering everyone off and stuff. Yeah.
But he's like, Isaac, English is unbelievable. Joe Linton was talking the other day about his son goes to school here, and I don't know if he was born here, but he, speaks... When he speaks English, it's with a Geordie accent. Like, so he was saying he kept saying I and stuff for yes and stuff, and he was making us laugh because obviously Joe Linton sounds like the most South American person you've ever heard. You know what I mean?
Were you at the club when Joe Linton? I think it would have probably been he would already been converted to a midfielder when you joined, would he?
Mm, yeah, just before. I think probably three or four games before, but unbelievable.
I mean, we've said how does a player get to the age that he's at,
and bought for 40 million as a striker, and then. He got almost ridiculed, didn't he, for year and a half kind of thing, not scoring any goals. And then now he's dropped back into midfield.
He's a world-class midfielder.
He is a world-class midfielder.
He said, I've spoken about this before, he was like, I was never a striker. I've never, ever been a striker. But he was bought and he was given the number nine. You know
you're
going
to have to be a striker for a bit.
It's a lot of pressure being a number nine, but unbelievable. I love Joe Linton. If I could pick anyone to play in my team, I'd pick Joe Linton.
Really?
Why is that? Good.
Just he's worked great for a start. He's... always does the most strong as anything. He's another one of them where, if I've got the ball and I'm struggling to find a pass, I just give it to Joe Linton.
Because
I
know he'll just hold somebody up.
He'll just keep you stay there, and you'll just have the ball at his feet and he always finds his way out. I love Joe Linton.
How is it that these players do that, by the way? Because there's been a few over the years, but do they stick their bum out genuinely? Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's not they'll hold them off a bit, but they also have to have a real solid base as well, don't they?
Probably. I think it must be just the positions that they're in constantly, especially the lads from Brazil, when they're playing, they brought up on futsal and stuff like that. It's all really tight areas, isn't it? I think I was speaking about this to someone the other day. I think when I was a kid growing up, you're tall, you're a centre half. Do you know what I mean? It was just and then that's just what happens. Whereas
you're
now,
quick, play up front. Or...
Yeah, exactly. So you can play on the wing. You've got a little bit. Whereas now, I feel the lads coming through are everyone's a very, very good footballer. And then your sort of position gets chosen later as you get on. Do you know what I mean? Whereas in other countries, when Spain. I've always done that. Germany have always been really good at France to some extent, whereas we've, it's took a while for us to catch up. But you see now with our younger teams, the 21s and the 19s, we're winning World Cups and
incredible,
stuff like that. It's only a matter of time. So I think it is just a different upbringing in football.
It seems a British thing, doesn't it, Ben? You know, we've got young lads that play, and it seems to be that even at 10, 11, that's where you play.
Yeah.
Is that what you've noticed as well?
Yeah, for sure. You're picked there and that's it. You stay there and it's as simple as that. Whereas, I think the way the, especially Brazilians do it, they just want to go and run around and play absolutely anywhere. Goalies want to play out in Brazil.
Wait,
don't
we had Coventry goalie on, Ben Wilson, a few weeks ago. Yeah. He played outfield in a pre-season friendly.
How wicked is that? That's awesome. That's
good. Keepers are doing that now. I feel like keepers, when you look at keepers, it's now more about how good they are with the feet than they can actually save a ball.
Yeah. Which brings me nicely, actually, onto my mate, our mate, Nick Pope. Yeah. I just want to, even if Popey, you're watching, mate, I think I just want to say from me, mate, just get well soon, Geez. I don't know if people watch the Man United game. Obviously, he's done something to his shoulder. It looks like it's going to be pretty bad. But I just hate to see it, mate, because I love watching Nick Pope. Again, if I have to build a team, I'm putting Nick Pope in goal for him.
It's been amazing. His presence behind you, you just feel so confident. Anytime the ball's over the top, he's always ready there, ready to go. Crosses
balls
are
into
coming
the box,
in.
Crosses and that.
Unbelievable and stuff. And he doesn't get enough credit for what he can do on the ball as well. I don't know if that's another thing that I was speaking about before about a tall guy. You don't expect him to be able to do it, but he's still very, very
comfy.
Good with
he's
his
golden,
feet.
Isn't
he's comfortable.
It,
He's absolutely fine. So, he'll be a big miss. I know we've got very good keepers at the club with the cover that we've got, but he's a huge miss and horrible for him. It's horrible seeing that as well, for an injury like that from something out of nothing.
Yeah, so innocuous as well. Yeah, get well, Popey. Love you lots, mate. I want to talk about some of the players you played against in the Premier League this year. In your book, who's been the standout player or standout players that you've gone, that was tough today?
Yeah, Saka. I always.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think he's like very, very good. Like, just the way that he can, because now like it's constant. You play against inverted wingers.
Yeah.
So like 20 years ago, you'd play against a right footer.
Show him out that side.
Yeah. Show him side. You'd cross it, but it's not the end of the world. Yeah. Whereas now you're playing against wingers who, if they're like, if you send them inside, yeah, like I'll come inside, I'll shoot. Yeah. Like, or like, right, I'll cover that. Yeah, it's fine. I'll take you down the line and I can cross it anyway. So, yeah, I think Saka's up there for me is like the most consistent, tough player to play against. Like, when I've played against him, I feel like I've done all right against him quite a few times, but I get a lot of help from like my left side in my winger to try and...
Is that something that you sort of like pre-arrange for the game or during the game?
I think it's
what?
Something that we've always done.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when I play against wingers now, it's more... When I'm high up the pitch, I'll be as aggressive as I can and try and win the ball and do it. But when they're running at you in the final third, you're sort of like playing more percentage games. So I'm thinking, right, if I send them down the line here, my centre-halves know that there's a cross coming in. Like, I know that they're good in the air.
Yeah.
Whereas,
and you've got Popey as well,
I've got Popey
fairness.
Coming in. Yeah. So like, and then I'm thinking, right, but if I send him inside, he's probably going to play a 1-2 with Odegaard or...
And you're turning around, twisting, turning.
Like, or he's going to... He loves that one at the back post where like they get tap-ins at the back post. So... like it's all like I think at the minute the game's always like it's like a game of chess. You're like constantly like trying to work people out and like manoeuvring people and putting yourself in a position to sort of best do it.
Love this, my mate.
What about a player that you've played against that, listen, everyone you're going to be playing against in the Premier League is a good player, right? But is there any player you've played against where you've surprised you at just how good they were?
I think off the top of my head, the I think Bernardo Silva is
really
unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I play against him constantly and he rinses it constantly and I still think he's the best guy ever. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's just like such a nice guy when you're playing against him anyway. Yeah. But the amount of positions he can play and how clever he is, and he always seems to be relied upon. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're going to do like a triple press and then he'll come in, he'll still be pressing you. But when he's got the ball, it's so hard to take the ball from him. So I think for someone who probably doesn't get the credit that
it's exactly what it is, isn't it?
Like you've got Grealish, you've got Doku,
big names, Foden, players Foden, like that, big names like, and that,
unbelievable. That I think he probably gets more credit, and Foden, by the way, now that you mention it, unbelievable player. Like the way he can take a ball like first time
past you.
Like when he like he like drags it. It's like weird. Like you get there and you're like, oh, I'm quite comfortable here, and like you'll bring the ball from behind him round the front of you, and he's gone. And I'm thinking like, that happened so quickly, I didn't even have time to react.
Do you know what? Like, I've seen a few things of him actually where he's on the run and somebody plays a ball into him. And one of the most difficult things in the world that people don't appreciate is trying to take a ball with a real nice touch when you're running and keeping it close to you as well. It's so easy to just let it go and zing off somewhere. Yeah. It's like he's got it on a little bit of string when he's running with it, doesn't
it? It's like perfect. Like, it's like he doesn't even need to change his stride to play it. I think
asking
like,
for a penalty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is like, anything at the minute seems to be a penalty, so it's tough as it is. So, but I think just City, anyway, in general, like all of the players are like that. Like they always take like the touch that they need to take or hit the pass that they need to pass. Like.
Quick bit of VAR chat. I do this with everybody as well. you played without VAR, you played with VAR. If somebody said to you tomorrow, do you want to keep it or do you want to get rid of it? What are you doing?
A completely personal opinion, nothing to do with the club, bin it completely.
Yeah, like, it's amazing. This everybody we ask says the same thing.
No, I think
it's incredible.
It's like, it's such a, I understand why it was brought in, but it's getting to the point where it's like, keep the things that are black and white. So, like, goal line technology, class,
cool.
Like,
love it,
absolutely fine. Offsides, like, you get a tiny percent that are subjective, but the majority, like, even if they get the semi automated offsides in, but I think now it's like,
they're trying to do it for everything now.
And
everything.
I feel bad. Like, I genuinely feel bad for the referees. Yeah. Like, it's like, I'd hate to be a referee, like, because you're making a decision and it doesn't matter if you make a decision or not because someone's checking it already. And I feel like we need to give them more power back where they've got, because we've got good referees.
Yeah.
Like,
human error, mate. I'll take human error. Yeah, I will. I'll take it. I'll take human error.
So
all
what
day
used to
long.
Happen was, is that you'd see something, they'd make a bad mistake, and then it's short after the game and you'd see their angles. You know, they used to show, like, their eye line, and you think, like,
it's hard. It's like, tough for
like,
him, yeah.
Like, I'm raging, but, like, what can they do?
You
but
can
now,
understand it.
You look at it and you're watching it and you think, right, like, yeah, that cannot be a penalty.
And then the ball got it on the side. But it's football, isn't it? Like, they've got it in different sports. It's you know,
yeah, but
NFL,
them different
rugby,
sports are easier
tennis.
For it to implement.
Football,
it is.
There's too many variables in football.
Yeah,
it's too fast.
Yeah.
There's too many little movements.
It's subjective.
And I think as well, like, the... what I was just about to mention before, like in the box as a defender now, like it's impossible.
Yeah,
like,
you've got to think of your arms, your hands, your body, like, everything.
Like, natural, like what is a natural arm position?
Even jumping, jumping up to try and header with keeping your arms down.
To jump, don't
like,
you, right?
Like chop my arms off. Like that's the only thing that you can do. And even like as a winger now, as soon as I get in the box, I'm buzzing because I'm thinking, even if I go down here, and I've not been touched. Even if he's touched my shin, I watched Man U Arsenal. Remember when Van Nistelrooy hits the ball?
Yeah.
And it all kicks off and like
and jumps in his face.
Class. Tackles were flying in. Like Quinton Fortune smashed Vieira, right?
Yeah.
And Vieira got up as if nothing had
happened. Yeah, it's cool.
And
it's fine.
Like, red card, 100% red card. But like, that's why I loved football. Yeah, like, I loved that side of it. And like, it just, I feel like it's, we're getting close to the point now where.
It's non-contact.
We're going in the wrong direction and it's a bad move for football.
Yeah, I think I heard someone on the radio a few weeks ago where the PGMOL or whatever they are said footballers have been asked and they want to keep it. And I'm thinking, no, everybody we've asked, literally every footballer I've ever spoke to has always said, get rid of it. Mm. And plus, if you can score a goal against PSG in the Champions League and you don't get to freaking celebrate it, right? It's a disgrace.
But on another day, that might not have been a goal.
But it would have been offside, so it would have been checked and it was onside. So I've actually thought about this. I thought, if I come on and say I hate VAR, does that take me PSG goal away?
But
it would only been turned for VAR, so for offside, so I still would have
Yeah, the offside was absolutely fine. World class, I think
we've got a few quick fires.
We got some.
I think it was Nick Pope. It's just popped in my head.
Come on,
right? Where we asked Nick Pope the player you'd most like to have on your team in a quiz. Oh. And I'm pretty sure he said...
I think he did say it.
He said, I think it was either you or Sven Botman.
It might have been Sven. I keep getting it.
And the reason was because he once saw them reading a book.
Yeah, it's going to be me then. There's no... honestly, I've not seen Sven read a book. And I'm not picking Sven to be on my quiz team.
So who would you, in your Newcastle squad, most like to be on your team in a general knowledge quiz?
Oh, general knowledge. Wow.
Slim pickings, like... me and Pope, we were on a quiz team like in pre-season and we didn't win, which wasn't like...
Who won that then?
That was like, it was between like staffs or all around the club, do you know what I mean? Yeah, so like all the heads...
You get some clever coaching staff to be fair, don't you?
Like football-wise, Mark Gillespie's ridiculous. Like,
really?
Yeah, like as in like plucking names out of nowhere for crazy questions. He's very good, but Pope is good as well. I think like...
Go on the goalies.
Yeah, the cats seem to be...
The cats and the kittens.
I would have gotten that off Poppy,
And then on the opposite side of that, who do you not want in your quiz team? Take your pick, basically.
I'm going to go Joe Willock, sorry, mate.
But
great for other things, but I'm not backing you in it.
in a general knowledge.
But you're a good lad, though. Honestly, Joe, you're a good lad.
Great lad. Some player.
What is your bucket list sporting event?
I'm a big NFL fan, so Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm desperate. Once I've retired, I'd love to go somewhere. I want it to be somewhere hot, though. I'm not going to like Green Bay.
I was going to say, I was literally about to say, would you want to do one of the snowy ones, or do you want to do one of those real nice warm ones?
Yeah, like you say, like
beer hats.
Yeah, we've got like Vegas, the Rays new stadium's there, and the LA stadium looks a joke. So I love it.
You're big into the NFL then,
I've been like, I play in a fantasy league and everything, so me and my mates are quite into it. So
proper fan then, yeah.
So like, I'm a Steelers fan, so I started watching when they won the Super Bowl.
Pittsburgh, is that?
Pittsburgh,
football idol growing up?
Shearer. I know it's like cliche to say,
who else?
Yeah, but it was
if
like
you're a Newcastle
was,
fan.
Like as a anyone in my generation, it was just cheer. It was like the hero, like who you want it to be. You want it to be the number 9 for Newcastle, the captain, scoring all the goals. So I remember I've said before that the first time I met him was horrific, like
nervous.
So bad. Honestly, like just did not. Like, I don't get starstruck. I don't feel like I get starstruck anyway. Like I'm quite comfortable, but. Elliot's dad, Rob.
Yeah. Lee.
Ollie.
By the way,
Rob Lee, yeah. So, like, Ollie, I play with his brother Ollie, and he had an engagement party. So, it was at Rob's house, and Shearer was there. So, like, I clocked him as soon as I went in. And then I was speaking to Rob, and he come over, and he said something to us, and I, like, said it, and then, like, blank, like, nothing. Like, do you know when, like, you feel like it's going to get a bit awkward? Like, I was like, well, just say something, like, just say something. And then, like, I saw my wife look at us and she could see that I didn't have a clue. So she came over
just
and like,
say something.
So she came over and she's chatty. So she started cracking on straight
bailed
away.
Bailed you out.
Gutted. And then obviously I met him a few times now and it sounded, but like, I was like, if that's the one time I've met Alan Shearer and that's how I've done it, he must be thinking, wow, it's a bit weird.
Those first times count, you know, they leave a lasting impression. You know?
Yeah,
he thinks something about you.
Yeah, he might. So he might not have thought it was as awkward, but I was dying inside, like I was sweating.
I love that.
We've got a couple more, haven't we, Ben?
Yeah. Have you got any secret talents?
That's a no.
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 Not right off, no.
Right, this is a good question, and you might have to think about this one. If you could live a day in the life of any person ever in the history of ever, who would it be and why? A day in the life of anybody ever, who would it be? You could be a sports, but it could be a question. President, it could be an anything.
Wow, that's a tough question.
You went rogue on that, Fozzie. You said Donald Trump, didn't you?
I want to know Area 51 secrets. I want to know about aliens. I want to know about all the big things that have gone on that have
everything
been swept
else
under the carpet.
I don't think you can go far from that. If I was going to pick sportsman, I'd want to be like Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. There was one where they were like 24 points down at halftime or something and then come back and win it. And I hate the Patriots. So like, Tom Brady was the enemy. But like, knowing that he is that level of sportsman, like, it would be great doing that.
Mate, that's your lot.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Seriously, Dan, absolutely world class. Good luck in your recovery. Can't wait to get you back on the pitch, mate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, cheers for having us on. Appreciate it.
The Fozcast.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of The Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.